All right. You'll notice the title to my presentation is a little bit different on the slide than it is in the handout, but it's really what I'm going to be talking about. The refinement to the HMM framework that I'll be talking about is really about including enterprise architecture into the framework, which there's already been a very nice white paper, and I'll refer to that, about doing that, but I will be talking about where it fits in, how it can fit in, how it can be used to help move the framework along and refine it a bit in terms of coming up with some standard practices. So really what I'll be talking about is where does enterprise architecture fit into the HMM framework? And first, for those who didn't get to go to the tutorial on the HMM framework yesterday, which I heard was really good and on all-day tutorial, so I'm sure they went into a lot of good detail. So I'll just briefly cover what the HMM framework is and what it's about. And then I'm going to make the case that the operational plan that's talked about in the HMM framework is really enterprise architecture, and why those two things are equivalent. And then the advantages of integrating enterprise architecture into the health metrics network, some advantages to a federated approach that the federal government's been using now for a number of years for its enterprise architecture, and then a brief description of how that would look and how it would work. So first of all, for those who didn't get to go to the tutorial yesterday, the Health Metrics Network is an initiative that's hosted by the World Health Organization and was launched in 2005, so it's been around a few years. And it was launched to help countries and other partners improve global health by strengthening the information systems that generate health-related information for evidence-based decision-making. And so, I mean, we recognize that as certainly that's public health and public health informatics. The HMN framework is intended to serve two broad purposes. First, at the country level, it's supposed to focus on investment and technical assistance on standardizing health information system development. So to bring some kind of standardization to the process so that it's not, so essentially we're not reinventing the wheel every time a country goes into this process of trying to build its health information system. And then at the country and global levels, it will permit access to and better use of improved health information. So obviously, if countries are building health information systems based on the same standards, the same architecture, then those systems are going to be better interoperable, they're going to be more interoperable, and we'll be able to share information from one to the other. And so we'll be able to do more sharing of information globally. And as we all know, in terms of public health, that's becoming increasingly important. The world is a small place when it comes to diseases, and as we've seen with H1N1 here just over the past few months, it can start out in one place and very rapidly move to the entire world. So this comes from the document that's up on the WHO site, the HMN site at WHO. This document is called Framework and Standards for Country Health Information Systems, the Health Metrics Network by the WHO. This is from the second edition, which is dated June 2008. What we're looking at here is a diagram which shows the overall roadmap for the Health Information Network framework. And as you can see, it's been very well thought out. It's got three phases that each country can go through in terms of building or strengthening its health information system, with phase one being pulling together the leadership, the coordination functions, the assessment functions that you need to basically drive the process forward. So this is like a preliminary step that's really necessary to form the foundation for making sure that things happen in the future. So once that's in place, once you get the leadership, coordination, assessment activities worked out, phase two is called priority setting and planning. And so that starts out with a vision for what each country wants their health information system to be. And then based on that vision, slightly more detailed strategic plan about how they're going to move forward and create that health information system. The next step is called implementation plan and budget. And the case that I'm going to be making today is the fact that that's the step which is really equivalent to enterprise architecture. So we'll be talking more about that soon. If you look at what the federal government has done over the past few years, OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, is promoting enterprise architecture throughout the federal government. They show it as a life cycle that starts out with strategic planning, then architecture, then investment, and then implementation. And you'll see those steps right here. So you'll see strategic planning, architecture, investment, and then phase three, of course, is implementation. So the actual building of the systems that are needed to fill out that architecture. So enterprise architecture. A lot of people don't know what enterprise architecture is, but let me fill you in on a secret here. Enterprise architecture is the same as an operational plan. It's also the same as an implementation plan. It's also the same as an action plan. Paraphrase quotations from both William Shakespeare and Gertrude Stein, a rose by any other name is still a rose. So if you look at a definition of what an operational plan is, which is basically the same as an implementation plan or an action plan, it's described as a subset or an extension of a strategic plan that addresses four basic questions. So where are we now? Where do we want to be? How do we get there, and how do we measure our progress toward that goal? This all sounds very familiar to any enterprise architects in the audience, because that's exactly what enterprise architecture does. The definition of enterprise architecture that Gartner came up with a couple of years ago is that enterprise architecture is the process of translating business vision and strategy into an effective enterprise change by creating, communicating, and improving the key principles and models that describes the enterprise's future state and enable its evolution to that future state. So in other words, it addresses the same four questions. And in enterprise architecture, the where are we now is addressed by what we call the current architecture. Where do we want to be is addressed by what enterprise architects call the target architecture. How do we get there? The enterprise architects call that the transition plan. So the transition plan is the plan for how to go from the current architecture to the future architecture, or target architecture. And how do we measure our progress? The enterprise architects call that the performance architecture. So those are the metrics, the performance metrics. How do you measure how you're achieving your strategic goals and objectives? So just bottom line, when you're talking about an operational plan, what you see in the Health Metrics Network framework, that's enterprise architecture. Now, what are the advantages of using enterprise architecture? A lot of people don't know what it is, but if you look at within the federal government, if you look at best practices within a lot of organizations around the world, not just in the United States, enterprise architecture is one of those best practices that's used quite a lot. It's been around for somewhere between 15 and 20 years. It's a developed discipline. So there's a lot to it. Now, the application of EA to the HMN framework was first actually proposed in the white paper, The Case for a National Health Information System Architecture, a Missing Link to Guiding National Development and Implementation, by Sally Stansfield and others. And that was produced in 2008, so just a little over a year ago. And it was making the same case, basically, that I'm making, is that enterprise architecture is really the missing piece to the HMN framework. And they gave a lot of good reasons why that's true. What they didn't have in the paper was exactly where it fit into the roadmap and exactly how it might be used to enhance the HMN roadmap. And so that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. So I'm really building on work that's been done over the past few years regarding HMN. First, the HMN framework roadmap, which is, you know, very well thought out, and people have been working on it for a number of years now. And then this paper, which indicated that, well, enterprise architecture should fit in there somewhere. And it's probably the missing link to what needs to be done. And I totally agree with that. So we'll talk about that today. So one of the reasons why EA is a good thing to use, instead of just giving general directions for here's where you do an operational plan. The difference between here's where you do an operational plan versus here's where you do enterprise architecture is that enterprise architecture has a standard set of established frameworks that you can already use. And so there's several to choose from. There's the Open Group Architecture Framework, the Federal Enterprise Architecture Framework that the federal government has been using for a number of years now. And then, of course, there's Department of Defense Architecture Framework, which is actually a couple of years older than the Federal Enterprise Architecture Framework. So all of these are frameworks that provide the basis for developing your architecture, and it provides the structure for thinking about how the information about your architecture is put together. And in addition to those frameworks, EA over the past 10 years or so has developed a number of standard methodologies for actually building the enterprise architecture. The one that I'm most familiar with, since I'm with CDC and the federal government, is the Federal Segment Architecture Methodology. That's been in the process of being created probably for the last 5 years or so. It really, the first version of it came out about a year ago. And in that time, just in the past year, it's undergone a lot of improvement. And it really is a very detailed methodology for how you actually go about doing your enterprise architecture. And remember, that translates into an operational plan. So it's really, it's a very nice methodology for how to actually go about step by step, task by task, document by document, how to build your operational plan. So as a bottom line, enterprise architecture really has a large and growing body of knowledge. It's been around a while, so it's got these methodologies, it has these frameworks. There's professional certification programs out there to train enterprise architects so that they understand how this stuff works and how to use it. And so the bottom line for the whole thing is there's no need to reinvent the wheel here. Enterprise architecture is the same thing as operational planning. So don't go out and try to come up in every instance with a different way of doing an operational plan. So to give you some ideas about some of the frameworks that are out there, this is the Federal Enterprise Architecture Framework. And you'll see what I said before about there being a current architecture over on the left-hand side, a target architecture on the right, and then a transition process, which allows you to move from one to the other. Each one of those architectures has several layers in it where information is captured about the business architecture. Those are the business processes that you're trying to support in terms of achieving your goals and objectives, strategic goals and objectives. Below that is a data architecture, so which captures the information about what data and information needs to flow from one business process to another so that those business processes work properly. Beneath that is the what's called the applications architecture layer, which now we're also calling a services layer. So if you want to talk about information applications, information systems, information services, that's where that information is captured and modeled within the architecture. And then finally, and of course, that supports those data and information flows. And that's really what those services and applications are all about, is moving information from one business process to another, allowing people to operate on that information or data and getting their work done. And so beneath that layer of the applications layer, there's a technology layer. And of course that, as we all know, that's the IT layer. That's the information technology, the computers, the networks, the operating systems, the databases, all that stuff that's needed to support those applications and information services. And you'll notice up at the top, standards plays a huge role. So if you're going to be building systems that work together, that share information, you have to have standards. And the ultimate achievement in terms of interoperable systems is to have what's called semantically interoperable systems. So those are systems that are using the same vocabularies, the same standards of data, and even if you get up to the point of using ontologies, which is a step above vocabularies, those things are really necessary to provide for that semantic interoperability that allows for systems to really talk back and forth with one another and share data back and forth. And that's really what you're trying to achieve when you're talking about interoperable systems. 5 more minutes? Okay, thanks. We're moving along. And so very quickly, just wanted to show you a little bit about what's been done in terms of the Federal Segment Architecture Methodology, or FSAM. And this is really the top level of the process. It shows you that, there's five basic steps or five big steps in the process of actually building a segment of the architecture. And architectures are typically divided up into segments that are specific to a business function. So for instance, at CDC, we have five core business mission functions that we see as segments of the architecture. And one is epidemiology and other assessment sciences. That's one segment. Public health monitoring or surveillance is another segment. Laboratory science and services is yet another segment. Then we have another one for response and control, where emergency response lies. And then a third one, which is supporting public health systems, and that's supporting local, state, and other global public health systems. But so each one of those segments you can address individually. And so using this process, you can go through and build out the architecture for each one of those segments of the architecture. And this shows how the FSAM dives down and very deeply into a lot of detailed information. So each step has a set of activities that you need to perform. And each activity has a set of tasks that need to be done. And each one of these tasks will be associated some document that needs to be done. So FSAM has already developed templates for all these documents that you need to develop as part of the process. And this is a list or a diagram of actually all the documents, the outputs, from the different steps and tasks and how they're related to one another. Now, they do have a set of core artifacts or documents within this and there's about 24 core ones that you really need to do to get a good handle on your architecture. But overall, I think there's probably some 50-something artifacts in there. 24 of them are really fairly essential. So, I want to talk a little bit about the federated approach, and the federal government has used this for enterprise architecture for a number of years now, and the reason it does that is it's really the only way it can do its enterprise architecture because it's a very large hierarchical organization. There's several million people employed in the U.S. government. There's a lot of departments and bureaus, a lot of bureaus beneath those departments. So it's a very large hierarchical organization. So federating the approach to enterprise architecture has actually been very good, and it's been very useful. It's been a very good approach. So at the federal enterprise architecture level, at the highest level in the federal government, they have the FEA, the Federal Enterprise Architecture, which contains common reference models for the different layers of the architecture. And the federal government is now moving toward a common target architecture so that we're all heading in the same direction. The global public health community, if you look at it from the point of view, is just adding another layer to that federated model. So how would it work? So if you have the architecture, you can establish a common strategic vision and plan for the global health domain. So once you have that common vision and plan, you can talk about establishing a common global health architectural framework, similar to the FEAF that we talked about before. You can establish common reference models for the global health domain. You can create a common target architecture for the global health domain and establish some basic data standards for interoperability. So these are like the beginning parts. These are the building blocks then that each country can use to start on that process, that roadmap of building or strengthening its health information systems. So that's all I have, and so we can entertain questions for a couple of minutes now. Anybody have any questions? Okay, well, thank you very much. And I'll be around for a little while, so if you have questions later.